passenger planes crash landing. There were 181 passengers and crew on the Boeing 737 when it tried to land with its landing gear down. It burst into flames. ABC aviation consultant John Nance says the landing gear creates a major question.
You don't land with your landing gear up if you have time to put it down. There's an alternate method, even if you've lost all hydraulics. So why did they land with the gear up? Was it a situation where they had another emergency that we don't understand yet in the cockpit, or was there something else, including just forgetting to put it down in the middle of an emergency?
President of Azerbaijan says the passenger jetliner that crashed Christmas Day in Kazakhstan was shot down by Russia, but that it was not intentional. 38 people were killed. Two people were killed in Texas and Mississippi after reported tornadoes in the region, and 15 people were hurt when a Brightline passenger train struck a fire truck in Florida. This is ABC News.
The Bucks lose to the Bulls. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Bulls at the United Center last night, 116-111. Damian Lillard was back, scoring 29 points. Giannis out a fourth straight game, dealing with back spasms and a flu bug. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers after the loss.
You know, if guys are out, they're out, and you still want to win games. I think we should have won the last two games, but should have and doing it is two different things. And, you know, I don't look back like, okay, well, yeah, we could have been 18-12, but we're not. You know what I'm saying? So what are you going to do about it? You're going to go and keep building. Hopefully we get everybody back. We start playing well and get back to the way we were playing.
Men's college hockey. The Badgers in the final of the holiday faceoff at Five Serve Forum in Milwaukee tonight against UConn. Wisconsin beating Ferris State yesterday 8-0 to advance. NFL. Packers at the Vikings. A recap coming up tonight after the game. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Areas of fog, then mostly cloudy skies with highs in the upper 30s. Our winds will be light. Mostly cloudy skies for the overnight. Some patchy fog reforming. Lows in the middle 20s. Sunshine returning Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Currently 29 degrees.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay, profhearingcare.com. I'm Dan Small. Happy New Year to you folks. Today we revisit two of our favorite interviews of 2024, and an outdoor blogger tells us how a vintage photo triggered a cherished memory. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm joins me from his home in Wisconsin Rapids. Jeff, welcome back and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Dan.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. We went and gathered at my parents' place with my parents and my father-in-law and kids, and we had a good time, had a good meal, and we played a game where my mother had created multiple packages, and inside the packages was either a question or money. And so you never knew what you were going to get. My wife ran away with all of the money, but the questions were great. We're all memory type questions. You know, what was your favorite Christmas memory? Or one was directed to solely at me. How many vehicles have you had in your lifetime? Because I've infamously had many vehicles in my lifetime. It was fun. It was a really, really fun day to get together and spend with family.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, how many vehicles have you had in your lifetime?
I think I was up to 18.
Oh, jeez. That's probably more than me. I have not counted.
My father-in-law, my father-in-law has had more than me. So, but he's also in his 80s.
Yeah. So
84. So, you know, he probably should have more than me.
I would think, yeah, for a young guy like yourself, well, you probably burned through a few in your early years.
Early years, yeah, burned through a few in my early years, yeah.
Well, you talk about memories, and that's one of the features on this week's show. I won't go into too much detail there, but speaking of memories, how does 2024 look in the rearview mirror to you?
Well, Dan, I think it really will be instrumental in creating some incredible memories for the future. I mean, we bought a chunk of land and a nice house this year, and so I think that'll be instrumental in creating some incredible memories, not only with my kids and myself, but you know, possibly future grandkids or others that we get to involve in a life here. So it's will be a lot of fun. But you know, I think. Dan, I didn't even buy a Wisconsin fishing license until the month of October, so I can't go into too many fishing memories this year. I did shoot two turkeys for the first time in a year, so I did that this last spring. So that'll hang in the memory bank for a little while. And you know, we had a successful deer season, and I think anytime I can look back and we have a safe season and we've got meat in the freezer, those are always great memories to hold on to.
Yeah, well, of course, with the new house, now you're kind of, I don't know, is it permanent? It's hard to say at this point, right? But it looks like
Yeah, I would say. I mean, we're certainly building as we, you know, as we do things in the home. We are putting stuff together as if this is what we want. This is the dream we thought of. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say this is permanent.
Yeah, cool. Well, this was quite a year for me in a lot of ways. Of course, the biggest news was my induction into the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, which was an honor years ago. I could never have expected or anticipated, but, you know, it's mainly for old guys who've been in the business a long time. And, you know, I can raise my hand to that one for sure. And I did a fair amount of traveling, fished the governor's fishing opener and hunted turkeys in Bayfield County and Chippewa and Dunn counties successfully in both places, as well as here in Vernon County. So that was a great memory creation event or a series of events. And two of the birds I shot with a Serpent Arms air shotgun made right here in Wisconsin. And I've been hunting with that now and will keep hunting with it for a while. I think it's a lot of fun. I did some traveling as well. Went to the Outdoor Writers Wisconsin Outdoor Communicators Conference in Eagle River, the World Muskie Hunt in Lake Tomahawk, and couldn't miss Jeff Kalo's biennial corn roast in Fond du Lac. You got to get over for that sometime.
That would be fun.
That was a good time. And, of course, the trip to Lake of the Woods with my brother Mike and his son Adam, and I'm hoping that we can do that again this year. And a trip to New York while John was out there. So a lot of traveling and pretty busy. So, and speaking of memories, folks, coming up, outdoor writer Dan Zekor shares a hunting memory triggered by a vintage photograph. Plus, we'll share two of our favorite interviews from this year. Audiologist Dr. Allie Anderson talks about her deer season, and outdoor writer Craig Mitchell shares the history of the mythical jackalope. All that and more right ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Sun, 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 fun, 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 sun, 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 every kind of boat under the sun.
That boat show music is back, and so is Wisconsin's largest boat show. Everything from family runabouts, ski and surf boats, fishing boats, luxury pontoons, and more Great Lakes cruisers and motor yachts. Get that boat and get that deal. Shop for skis, boards, and tubes at the Tubers Truckload Sale. Check MilwaukeeBoatShow.com, January 17 through 26, State Fair Park. Closed Monday and Tuesday.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Shawamigan Home Furnishings has a full showroom with a wide variety of furniture ready to go out the door. Mattresses with two-sided options are available. Over 50 recliners to choose from. Futons, sectionals, sofas, love seats, Amish and up north style furniture, as well as full bedroom and dining sets. Everything is in stock and available without delay. Go to their website, ShawamiganHomeFurnishings.com. Check them out on Facebook, too, for more specials. Shawamigan Home Furnishings. Downtown Park Falls and Main Street, Ashland, Wisconsin.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-517-9383. That's 800-517-9383. 800-517-9383.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes. Zelthy can help provide you with semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Just send them a text.
Text SOLVE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelthy to see if you're eligible. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Text SOLVE to 200-300 right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SOLVE to 200-300. SOLVE to 200-300.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. If you spent any time in taverns out west, chances are you've seen the legendary jackalope. It's a jackrabbit with horns or antlers. You won't encounter one in the wild, or aren't likely to, but look on the walls of bars or sporting goods stores and you'll find the occasional mounted specimen. What's with this critter? Is it real? Or is it something somebody dreamed up after a fruitless hunt or a night of hard drinking? Well, joining me now to shed some light on this mythical beast is Craig Mitchell of Brampton, Ontario. Craig is a kindergarten teacher, as I just learned, and an outdoor writer. And his article in the current issue of Hook and Barrel magazine is called Jackalope Origin Story. Craig, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Well, thank you so much. It's a real honor to be here.
When and where did you first discover jackalopes?
That is a great question, and I've been kind of scratching my head to come up with an answer to that. They're one of those really unique creatures that once you see one, you don't really forget it. It's such a unique, you know, mythical creature, an amalgamation of different taxidermy, and it's a head scratcher if you're not familiar with them. So to answer your question, I'm not exactly sure, but I know it's one of those things that once you lay eyes on them, you kind of keep seeing them everywhere you go. It could be, like you mentioned before, above a saloon or a bar, which is a common place to find them, hotels, entertainment complexes, even some man caves and personal basements. I've seen them hung up proudly on the wall. They are just one of those things where you seem to come across them more and more as you become more aware of them.
You know, I think I was aware of them, but my son and I did our first and only real serious Western hunt back in 87, about the same year you talk about in Hook and Barrel. And we shot two nice antelope in Montana, and we stopped in a town in western South Dakota to have the heads mounted. And there on the wall, of course, were several jackalopes. And my son, who was 12 at the time, wanted to take one home, and I didn't let him. But that was our first serious encounter with one. And, of course, we saw them on the wall in Wall Drug in Wall, South Dakota, which is, you know, another place that one could visit and discover all kinds of crazy things.
Now that you've just jogged my memory, I think the first one I ever came across was in grade 10, which would have been many, 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 many moons ago, at the Smithsonian, of all places.
Oh.
We were there for a class trip. They have an example up on the wall. If memory serves me correct, it was kind of highlighting not only the Americana history, but the connection to the HPV or the papillomavirus. We can get into that as well, but that's what kind of makes the jackalope such a neat creature. Is it's kind of one left leg in mythology, one right leg in the hunting lore in Americana culture, and there's all one to two paws, if you want to call it that, dipped into a little bit of medical history, because they were linked to these interesting growths that scientists had kind of documented over hundreds of years, but no one had kind of really paid any attention to. And it wasn't until scientists had kind of heard about this taxidermy jackalope that they were able to go back and start researching and analyzing some of these old historical accounts of rabbits with horns. And once they kind of dug a little deeper, they actually found some taxidermied examples where seemingly healthy rabbits were, you know, littered with these odd little growths, and some of them did resemble horns. After a little bit of research, and I shouldn't say a little, I don't want to besmirch all of their efforts. It was probably a great deal of effort, but they were able to draw a connection between those growths and the HPV, or the human papillomavirus, which is now, thankfully, a treatable cancer in humans. So you can chalk it up. If it wasn't for this piece of Americana, the jackalope, we might not have a cure, or at least a treatment, for the HPV virus, which is something that has stricken thousands of Americans and people across the world. So it's a really neat little side piece of jackalope history.
That's an amazing story. So this virus that occasionally shows up in jackrabbits, does it show up in other animals as well?
I wouldn't begin to claim to be a medical history expert, but to my understanding, it was primarily found in rabbits, both jackrabbits and cottontails. There were examples and documented accounts, and now when we're going back hundreds and even a thousand years, they were primarily paintings and drawings that depicted these interesting creatures. And just like we found in North America with our indigenous people, a lot of these sometimes unique creatures find their way into lore. And so there are stories around the world of horned rabbits, but they obviously don't quite fall into the same story as the one that the Herrick brothers created back in the 1930s.
Okay, now let's talk about the brothers and their creation and the origin of the mounted jackalope. How'd that all happen? Okay.
Well, this story really kind of resonates with me because I grew up with two brothers, and we seem to find ourselves into anything and everything that might make my mother squirm. So whether it was, you know, the mouse or the snake or the reptiles that the neighborhood cat brought home, we were always into something. And when I heard about the Herrick brothers story, I couldn't help but think of my brothers and how we would probably, if given the chance, we would have done something similar. But essentially, during the Depression, the two brothers had found themselves with a few shells in their pocket and a .22 rifle, and they went out on the plains in search of a meal to bring home. Now, we've heard many different variations of the story, but what I have been told was that they didn't really have a game plan. Beggars can't be choosers, and they were hungry. So they went out with the idea that whatever crossed their path, if it was legal, if it could be put in the pot, they were coming home with it. So they went out, they came across a rabbit, they took their shot, they came home with their bounty, all happy as can be, ready to show mom and dad. And as they entered their basement to clean and get the rabbit ready for the pot, they had skinned it out and kind of haphazardly thrown the discarded remains on the floor. And they got back to trimming and preparing the meal when one of the brothers looked over, and it just happened that the rabbit fur and head landed very fortuitously right beneath a small set of deer antlers from a rack that the boys had shot a deer the day before. Huh. So I guess they weren't the cleanest of brothers because they still had all kinds of farts hanging around.
Yeah.
But what it did do is they both happened to look over and see the rabbit fur and the antlers right above it, and it was like a light bulb went off. They both had this idea that we have to do something with this. We have to taxidermy it.
Yeah.
And they had spent a little bit of time on their own, as a kind of a hobby of theirs, a little very rudimentary taxidermy, but they thought this was going to be their piece de resistance. This was what they had been practicing for, and that's what they did. They got to work, and they created what has become known as the world's first taxidermy jackalope. There's been two different variations. A lot of people have them sporting antelope horns, but most commonly they are deer antlers just because they're easier to come by, just like it was in the original case.
Wow, what a great story. And, you know, your history and your story of you and your two brothers, I grew up with two brothers also, and we got into all kinds of trouble, mostly good trouble, mostly with wildlife like you. We had a collection of snakes in our garage, and my dad built the boxes, the cages that we kept them in, and our maternal grandmother would never come to the house because of the snakes there. That's an aside. So now the mounted jackalope that they create, they sell it to somebody for $10, right?
Yeah, which at that time period, I mean, not only did these boys have a ton of fun going out to get a rabbit, so they've been successful on the hunt. They've come back and had this brilliant idea to come up with a mythical creature of their own creation, and now they've had the brilliant idea and successfully sold it to a local tavern and hotel owner for $10, which would have been a huge sum. So not only do they still have the rabbit for the pot, but now they've got a couple of bucks in their pocket to help with mom and dad. So these guys had really hit a home run. And like you said, they sold it for $10. They sold it to the local hotelier, and he put it proudly on display. So anyone who happened to come through town, for whatever reason, they couldn't help but be introduced to this jackalope. And of course, in fact, this is well before anything could have gone viral or any references on the internet or anything like that. But you can imagine that this little creature went as viral as it could for the time. And soon word of mouth began to spread. People began to flock to the hotel just to see this little mythical creature that the boys had created. And before long, they realized that they had a business opportunity on their hands, and they went back to their basement, and with a fresh batch of pelts and horns, they began creating more and more of these to be sold at the hotel. And by all intents and purposes, it sounds like it was a huge, huge success.
Folks, I'm talking with Craig Mitchell, outdoor writer. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com.
The
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters. Northwoods
weather. I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Areas of fog, then mostly cloudy skies with highs in the upper 30s. Our winds will be light. Mostly cloudy skies for the overnight. Some patchy fog reforming. Lows in the middle 20s. Sunshine returning Monday with highs in the upper 30s. Right now it's 28. 98 Q
Country. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Professional Hearing Care, LLC, with offices in Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, and Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, is a full-service hearing health care clinic. Professional Hearing Care is also the highest-rated practice in Wisconsin. Their website is profhearingcare.com. And you can call this number for information, and if you do, your first visit is actually free. The number is 608-292-4916. Mention that you heard about their service on Outdoors Radio. Well, joining me from her office in Green Bay is audiologist Dr. Allie Anderson. Dr. Allie, thanks for joining us, and welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's always a pleasure getting to chit-chat with you. The best part of my month, or quarter, I should say.
Well, that's nice to hear. I enjoy visiting with you, too, and talking about hearing care and hearing protection and hunting. And we'll get to hunting in just a couple minutes, because I know you've got a story to tell, or maybe more than one. But you are in Green Bay in the new office. How are things going there?
So far, it's been wonderful. All of our patients up here are so nice, and I feel like every time I leave the office, I'm making a difference. So far, it's really good, and we'll actually be in a new location here very soon. We will be moving to De Pere off of South Packerland.
Oh, yeah.
So we're really excited. We're looking forward to it. A little more space so we can help more people.
Very good. But folks can still find you on the website, and the phone number will get them connected to you, right?
Absolutely. Yep. That phone number rings in all of our offices, so whenever someone calls in, somebody will be there to pick it up.
Okay. And speaking of being in Green Bay and De Pere in Brown County, you have a symposium coming up sometime early next year, right?
Yes, in mid-February, we'll be doing one of our community educational events where we talk about hearing, brain health, and the ringing in the ears as well. So really looking forward to those events.
Great, yes, and I have been to one, and of course, ringing in the ears, that's tinnitus, or tinnitus, as some people call it. I've had that problem for decades, but with the new hearing aids that I got from you folks a year ago now, it's much less of a problem than it ever was before, and that's something that people don't think about when they consider hearing aids, that good hearing aids can actually reduce the ringing in your ears as well.
Good hearing aids, but also a good provider, because it's on us to make sure that they're programmed to your prescription and you're getting that proper follow-up care as well. So that way you're taken care of over time, too. I'm glad we were able to help you, and we're doing a tinnitus study as well to try to help more individuals, because like you said, so many people don't realize that tinnitus is treatable.
Yes, and tell us about that study. I know we talked about it a few weeks ago, but if people missed that show, tell us about it.
Yes, anyone experiencing tinnitus who has maybe tried to treat it in the past but is still kind of bugging them on a day-to-day, the tinnitus study is an awesome opportunity to start the treatment process and also add to science. So right now we know that 90% of the time we're able to help reduce the awareness of tinnitus in our patients. So this study is to just help validate the effectiveness, because that study that we did before was in about 4 years ago now. So we're just updating our numbers, basically, with the newer technology.
Okay, and how does it work if someone wants to sign up?
Yeah, if somebody wants to sign up, they would call our office, we would ask some qualifying questions, and then schedule a new treatment consultation. So they meet with the provider, go over their symptoms and a questionnaire, and then they would start the treatment process, which is a comprehensive hearing and cognitive assessment, get fit with their prescriptive technology that day, and then there'd be a few follow-ups with that as well.
Okay.
But it actually goes for 18 months, so it's a longitudinal study too.
All right, and what are you hoping to learn?
We're hoping that our treatment success rate stays at 90% or increases. So 90 to 95% would be fantastic.
Yeah, it sure would. Now, you mentioned prescription, and I think people who are new to hearing aids or who haven't gotten hearing aids yet, or maybe who already have some hearing aids they got from another provider, a lot of people think you just buy a pair of hearing aids and that's it. But that's not how you operate, is it?
Oh my goodness, not at all. People think that all the time, even my family members. But it makes sense because of, unfortunately, all the marketing out there whittles audiology down to just the hearing aid. But in reality, going through that comprehensive hearing evaluation and cognitive assessment and the proper verification measures along the way really dial it in to the amount of damage in the auditory system and also how your brain is actually processing the sound. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, for folks who are beginning to wonder if we're going to talk about hunting, we will in just a moment. But again, the number, if you want to learn more about what professional hearing care offers and get an appointment for one of these free consultations, is 608-292-4916. Okay, Dr. Alley, you were deer hunting in Minnesota, where your family lives. Tell us how your hunt went.
Had a successful year, so that's fun. Opening day in the afternoon, I actually went out a little earlier. We're pretty spoiled at our deer camp because my mom and my sister and our family friends, all the deer camps at our house, so we go in for a nice warm breakfast. But I went out early and I had a nice 8-point buck come out chasing 6 does, so it was pretty exciting in the moment, and yeah. It only took one shot, so that was a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. And a picture of you holding his rack and smiling tells part of the story, but what was your range for that shot? Was he close?
He was pretty close. Came over the ridge behind me pretty fast, and I made just a little bit of noise to stop him, and he was really close, like 50 yards. It was really close.
Well, that's nice, yeah.
Just give him a little whistle to make him stop and look right at you. It was textbook. It was perfect.
Yeah, and well, good for you. So you whistled at him. You didn't grunt or anything like that.
For some reason, I've always done that. Just a nice quick whistle, and they always stop and look. Once in a while, I give out a, hey, buddy.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that turkey hunting is go, hey, Tom, but I'm afraid that they'll take off. I just cluck for turkeys, and with the deer, I go, meh, and they usually stop, because I don't whistle very well. I mean, some people have a good shrill whistle, and you know, that works. So, well, cool. How did the rest of your family do in Minnesota?
They did really well. The best part of deer hunting for me is my grandpa still goes out and hunts. It's something I cherish, well, cherish forever, but my grandpa always gets a deer opening day, and he, lo and behold, got another deer. But about 5 years ago, he couldn't get out his own deer because of his back. So I haven't shot a deer in 5 years because I thought, if I have to make a mess, it better be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandpa got one, and yeah, I think 6 total for our camp, which is really good. There's 3 families. We all process the deer at our house. So we are able to eat throughout the winter, which is awesome.
Oh, that's great. And then you hunted in Wisconsin as well, right?
Yeah, I got lucky. You know, I met a boy in Wisconsin, so I get to hunt in Minnesota and Wisconsin. But I didn't get anything in Wisconsin, but my significant other, his dad got a huge 10-point buck. It was the biggest buck he's ever shot. And I tell you what, I've never heard gully in a sentence before, but I really experienced pulling a deer up a gully.
Oh, my.
It's really fun. It was an adventurous year, that's for sure.
Well, that's great. Now, the photo of you and your deer, someone pointed out to me, She's got blood on her hands. Did you field dress that deer yourself?
I sure did. And after I field dressed my deer, my knife was so terrible. I went and bought myself a kit to break the pelvis, and boy, that's what I did. I gutted everyone's deer the second weekend because I was so happy about my new tool.
Now, be careful. You may just have a permanent job at your deer camp.
Yeah, I got to be careful about that. And my sister actually does all the work up to the north, and I'm to the east, so it's my job to the east and my sister's job to the north.
Huh. Well, all right. At least you got the process covered.
Yeah.
Now, back to hearing protection. What do you wear when you're in the field? I know you wear hearing aids.
When I go hunting, because my hearing loss isn't very severe, I actually don't wear them out. But my grandpa does because he needs to hear the deer in the woods and, you know, for safety concerns. I wear a plug with a filter in it. So it's a custom earplug that I made that has a filter, so it takes the noise down just overall. And I only wear my left ear because I'm a right-handed shooter, so it takes the majority of the blow. But my grandpa, he keeps his left hearing aid out and only uses the right, and he doesn't wear hearing protection. That's why he has a severe hearing loss.
Yeah. Well, there are a variety of ways to deal with that issue. I wear my hearing aids every waking minute, unless I forget to put them in, which I do some mornings, and then I wonder why I can't hear anything. But mine, those that you prescribe for me, do reduce the report, the sharp report of a gunshot. So it works.
Yes, it does. It has that safety feature to it, so it doesn't cause any more damage. The thing you have to be careful about, though, is your ear canal is still pretty open, so it's not like a solid plug. I always talk out of both sides of my mouth. You know, professionally, I have to say, always wear your hearing protection. But personally, I understand that it's a safety concern, really, when you're out in the woods and not able to hear. Kind of just weigh the risks and benefits.
Yeah. Plus, I want to hear the deer coming.
Exactly.
Well, Dr. Alley, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and we will catch up with you again, I don't know, in a few weeks or a month, maybe just before your Green Bay Symposium, and talk more about that, see if we can't send a few people your way.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I look forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes, you as well. Wow, that's crazy. It's already around the corner, 2025.
I know, isn't it? Well, we will talk to you again in 2025.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay. Dr. Alley Anderson with Professional Hearing Care, LLC. They have offices in Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay, soon De Pere. And they are also available online at profhearingcare.com. And if you call this number for information and your first consultation, it's absolutely free. And that number is 608-292-4916. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Sun, 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 fun, fun, fun. Sun, 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 every kind of boat under the sun.
That boat show music is back, and so is Wisconsin's largest boat show. Everything from family runabouts, ski and surf boats, fishing boats, luxury pontoons, and more Great Lakes cruisers and motor yachts. Get that boat and get that deal. Shop for skis, boards, and tubes at the Tubers Truckload Sale. Check MilwaukeeBoatShow.com January 17 through 26, State Fair Park. Closed Monday and Tuesday.
Let's take a moment to chat with Pete from Wheelway in Fifield. All the snow is here, Pete. The car may need a little service work to keep it going. That service department, you guys have been staying busy around here, Pete, right?
Absolutely. It's not too late. We got many, many discounts that you can take advantage of this month. For the home of the $39.95 oil change, make sure you give us a call.
If the car is chugging or sliding a little bit because the tires aren't very good, maybe the alignment's off, that's what you guys do, right? Get that car.
You know what, Joel? I think it's time. Give us a call today and get those discounts off those tires before they're gone next month.
Yeah, they can give you a call to set up that service appointment there, your beautiful facility there in Fifield. What's your number down there, Pete?
762-2467. The number again is 762-2467.
From a basic oil change, Pete, which you got a great price on, to major work, you guys can help them out, right?
Hey, when it comes to brakes, tires, alignment, all the mechanics are master certified. They're ready to fix your vehicle.
Wheelway in Fifield, schedule your service appointment today at Wheelway in Fifield, just a couple miles south of Park Falls, right on Highway 13.
This New Year's Eve, Northwood Supper Club in Fifield invites guests to a grand buffet celebration. Begin with a salad bar and homemade rolls, then enjoy loaded mashed potatoes, wild rice pilaf, bacon-wrapped stuffed chicken breasts, a seafood medley, glazed salmon, and more. You'll love the prime rib carving station, glazed ham, and roast turkey, but don't forget Lisa's exquisite desserts and signature cocktails. Serving 5 to 8 p.m. on New Year's Eve, December 31st. Call Northwood Supper Club to reserve at 715-762-4447. Located in Fifield, just look for the big red-nosed deer.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Power.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now is Wisconsin native wildlife biologist Dan Zecor. He's a UW Stevens Point alum for both his bachelor's and master's degrees in wildlife biology. He worked for years for the Missouri Department of Conservation, and he's been retired now for a little more than a decade, and he spends some time each year traveling and fishing, often here in Wisconsin. And he's got a blog called Dan Zecor Outdoors, and he spells his name Z-E-K-O-R, Dan Zecor Outdoors. Well, Dan, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Hi, Dan. My pleasure.
Well, I ran into you in Viroqua this past October on one of your junkets to Wisconsin, and we only had a half hour or so to chat, but it was great finally getting to meet face-to-face again. I know we've run into each other before, but it's been a while.
This was one of the outdoor rifle conferences where we met in the past, and I think they had an event down in Branson, Missouri. This is the last time I saw you.
Yeah, and the event this year, and that's the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers, I should say next year because we're right on the cusp of a new year. That's going to be up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, so I hope you can make it back for that.
Yeah, I think I can plan a trip around that.
Very good. Well, you were on your way to northern Wisconsin to do a little grouse hunting and steelhead fishing, but you spent a few days in the Driftless area, and that's one of your favorite places, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. A number of years ago, I'd read several articles about the Driftless area and always wanted to fish there, and first trip I was hooked, and so now I usually come up in the spring and then again in the fall. And this past fall, I would spend 3 days there in the Viroqua area, kind of my home base, and then was heading north to Danbury to hook up with some friends to grouse hunt. Did that for a couple of days, and the last leg of my trip was
And elusive is a key word there on the Brule, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed.
Yeah, when I lived up there, I got over to the Brule occasionally, but most of my fishing was done on the White River, which is in Bayfield County, and not a steelhead stream, but a great trout stream, and one that's a lot of fun to fish.
Yeah, that's on my list, too. One of these days, I hope to make it over to the White as well.
Well, you should. You should. It's still good fishing. It was better 40 years ago, I think, but so were a lot of things, right?
I totally agree with you there, yeah.
And speaking of 40 years ago, or whenever, we're not going to put an exact date on it, you had a recent post in your blog called Proustian Moments. And for folks who have no clue what we're talking about, Marcel Proust was a French writer who wrote about memories and things that would bring back memories. It was an appropriate title because something brought back a flood of memories for you. What was that something? Now, there's a photo along with the story of you holding a Canada goose, and you write about that goose, and you write about your grandmother plucking the goose and then cooking it, and I guess you and your family had it for supper. How did that photo surface again? And you dug out another memento as well, and I think it was your grandfather's federal duck stamp, wasn't it?
There are a lot of stories told about my grandfather, but I did not know that he's a waterfowl hunter. managed for 2 years by looking five ducks down.
Yeah, I have some memories that relate to early days of hunting and fishing. I'm sure anyone who has been hunting even 2 years has memories. One of my memories revolves around Christmas because my two brothers and I would always be home for Christmas when we were in our 20s and 30s. And one of the things we would do would be to go rabbit hunting just before or just after Christmas. And I've got a photo of my brothers Mike and Pete standing on a railroad track where we used to hunt, holding rabbits with snow falling around us. And I just happened to be out for a walk on Christmas Day and called my brother Pete. And I said, you know, I was thinking about you and Mike and the rabbit hunt that we used to do. And just then a rabbit ran out from where I was walking. And I was on my neighbor's pasture, but I know he doesn't mind. And this bunny took off and ran. But anyway, and it was a fond memory. And what I want to ask you is, how important are photos or tokens like that duck stamp to trigger memories?
Boy, they're precious. You know, when I think about the value of having those, and I think about all of those photos that got pitched and are forever lost, I wish I had more. You know, I do have memories of, you know, the Thanksgiving pheasant hunts in southeastern Wisconsin and fishing trips up to the cabin in Rhinelander. A lot of those pictures have gotten thrown out for one reason or another. And when I think about young people today, where everything is snapped on their phone and stored digitally, you know, you wonder, will any of those survive in time? And when those pictures are gone, boy, some of those memories start to fade pretty fast.
Yeah,
they're very important.
Yeah, the memories do fade when the photos fade, but digital photos can be preserved. I hope they can be preserved. I've got thousands of them on my phone and probably more on a couple of hard drives, but then you and I are professional photographer, writer, you know, content creators, and so we have a reason to keep those. I don't know about other outdoors enthusiasts, whether they keep those photos or not.
Yeah, and that's the big question. We keep a lot of photos, and both my wife and I, for a couple of holidays, I can't tell you how many pictures we're taking, but will those pictures survive? And boy, I think if I could give a message as part of my story, it would be, now's a great time during the holidays when you're with people that you're creating those memories with, is to take stock of those old photographs or new photographs, as the case may be, and start to file some of those away and jot down some of the stories that 10, 20, 40 years down the road, you've got a story to tell.
Great advice, Dan. Well, before I let you go, you ended your blog post with a question that you would like to ask someone, because occasionally people say, oh, I wish I could talk to somebody from the past. So who in your past did you want to talk to?
In the story, I kind of posed that question, as we've often heard asked before, you know, if you could sit down with anybody and have a conversation, alive or dead, who would it be? And yeah, there's a lot of interesting people in the course of history that would be wonderful to talk to. I'd want to talk to my grandfather. I was just a small child when he passed away. And there are many stories told about him and about his passion for hunting and fishing. And as I indicated in the book that I wrote, one of the stories involved him and a buddy who used to catch red squirrels and somehow figured out a way to use red squirrels as a bait for catching muskies. And so I'd like to know if that story was true, exactly what the logistics were, how you catch a red squirrel, and then how do you get a hook on it to catch a muskie.
That's a great question. Well, Dan, we'll let folks ponder that for a bit, and we will let you go and wish you a happy new year and a happy holiday season, what's left of it, and I hope to run into you on your next jaunt to Wisconsin.
Very good, Dan. Likewise, Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year's to you and all of your listeners.
Thank you very much. Folks, that was Dan Zekor. He is a wildlife biologist, now retired, but a blogger, and he's got a wonderful blog post, among others, on memories that were triggered by photos. You can read that at Dan Zekor Outdoors, Z-E-K-O-R is how he spells his last name. So just go to Dan Zekor Outdoors on any search engine, and you'll find it. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. They're closed now until January 2nd, and they'll have a large display of boats at the Milwaukee Boat Show. And Crestliner has announced rebates through the end of January. So go ahead and contact them when they open about that. We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, profhearingcare.com.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not on the air where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And if you missed my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special, it's available on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
This radio show can be downloaded anytime. Go to lake-link.com, go to the Outdoor Radio page and download it there, or you can find us at outdoornews.com/podcasts. Dan's on social media, Dan Small Outdoors. Find me at Hardwater Jeff.
Wisconsin's Winter Free Fishing Weekend is coming up January 18th through 19th. Clubs and organizations are invited to plan fishing clinics for that weekend, and the DNR will help you organize and promote your event. Visit the DNR website. Keywords are Free Fishing Weekend for details. And, of course, you can just fish on your own. You don't have to be part of a club to do that. DNR is also offering a number of outdoor skills programs this winter, from learn to hunt pheasant hunts to deer butchering, wild game cooking, learn to fish, and angler education instructor training. For details, visit the DNR website events page. And there's still plenty of hunting left. Archery and crossbow seasons through January 5 or 31, depending on where you live. Holiday antlerless hunt in some farmland zones is going on right now. Turkey, pheasant, gray partridge in northern zone grouse through January 5th and crow through March 26th. Squirrel and cottontail through the end of February. And you can nominate someone for this year's Ethical Hunter Award. A nominee must be a licensed Wisconsin hunter who displays exceptional moral actions and character in the field. Maybe they helped another hunter find lost game, assisted a novice, or protected natural resources sometime during 2024. For details, visit the DNR website. Keywords, Ethical Hunter Award. Deadline for that is January 31st. And there's more news from DNR. A CWD positive deer was shot in Menominee County, and there was another one taken in Trempealeau County. So bans will be in place for several more years there. And Patrick Durkin's latest blog post looks at the impact of CWD in Dane, Iowa, Sauk, and Richland counties, which are ground zero for CWD in Wisconsin. And take a look at that article. You can go to patrickdurkinoutdoors.com. And you'll see that the numbers are pretty stark, pretty remarkable. There was a steep decline in the harvest this year. PatrickDurkinOutdoors.com. Our giveaway this week, two pairs of tickets to the Milwaukee Boat Show coming to State Fair Park January 16th through the 26th. To enter the drawing, call 414-297-7554 or email dsoradio@gmail.com. Leave your name and number. And phone number, leave your name and phone number or email address and mention the boat show giveaway. Again, 414-297-7554 or dsoradio@gmail.com. Well, Jeff, a quick look ahead to 25.
Yeah, you know, I got the USC Ice Team stuff coming up, hopefully to compete in another world championship here in February. So that's short-term stuff, I suppose. Long-term, you know, I got to get my son a turkey. He didn't have a chance to get one last year.
Yeah.
I got two.
But the second one I got, it was after I dropped him off at school. So I'm not saying I'm going to keep him back from school. We got to get harder on trying to get him a turkey.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen. You got plenty of opportunities there. Well, Happy New Year to you, Jeff, and we will talk again next year.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. I'm Dan Small, folks, here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend, celebrate responsibly, as they say. Enjoy the new year, and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
You're tuned in to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. We're glad you're with us today. Now let's join Pastor Todd as we allow God's Word to build our faith.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the ministry of Cornerstone Church, and we're so thankful that you've joined us today. And I believe this, that God's called us and equipped us to do what He's given to us. So He doesn't give us responsibility without giving us the ability. Get that? He doesn't give us responsibility. And so as we look back over this past year, this being the last Sunday of 2024, I was so grateful for one of the young men that we meet consistently in my office in the mornings before we start work. And he prayed, and we'll gather together and we'll talk and we'll look at the day and all the projects we're doing, and then we will pray.